You're listening to Unraveling. This podcast brings together a collection of raw, authentic conversations about the messy truth of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and I have created Unraveling to explore both my own and others' inspiring journeys to reconnect back to themselves. Unraveling is an expression of both the highs and the lows of everyday life and covers a medley of topics inspired by my own adventures, from magical mysticism, mental health and menstruation, to self-expression, co-creation, and personal evolution through movement, meditation and intuitive practices that help us remember and reclaim our true essence. Thank you for tuning in and joining me on this beautiful process of unraveling. Now, let's head to the show. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 21 of Unraveling. Today on the show, I have the amazing Madeline McKinnon. Madeline is someone I met online, surprise, surprise. But I've actually had the joy of meeting her in person too, despite her living in Canada, in Calgary. So when I discovered, I had this conversation with Madeline just before I went to Calgary or to do my yoga nidra teacher training, and when I was speaking to her, I happened to mention that I was going to be kind of close by in a few days time at the time, and we actually managed to spend a couple of hours together just before I flew home to London at the end of my course. She took me to an amazing place for some food and we chatted and we walked along the river and had such a really lovely time hanging out. So it was just like such a beautiful gift to be able to chat to her here on the podcast and then actually meet in real life. So despite me always chatting to people who I meet on Instagram, it does actually bring people together, which is one of the beauties of this journey and something I'm so, so grateful for. So I discovered Madeline earlier this year when I was doing quite a lot of research into how to eat for my menstrual cycle. So how to kind of nourish my body nutritionally wise when I'm at different phases in the cycle, because there's quite a lot of different things you can do to really support the body. So I found her work and I really connected with the way she was working with people. She's got an amazing business and she's just got a lovely nurturing personality, so it was kind of a no-brainer to have her on the show to talk about a topic which I think is really important. So we dive deeply into what, just really kind of going into the cycle in a little bit more detail. We talk about all sorts of things around the menstrual cycle and everything from our different energy levels, how we can work with our cycles in terms of efficiency in the workplace. We talk about all the kind of things that people don't necessarily always want to talk about. So I will just tell you a little bit more about Madeline before we dive in. She is a certified nutritionist and the founder of Natural Hormone Healing. She believes in peeling back the layers that surround the root of hormone imbalance, exposing it, and then treating it with a combination of food, herbs, and lifestyle remedies. She runs an online course called Eating for Your Cycle, where she teaches you how to heal your fertility struggles and menstrual issues by customizing your diet for the phases of your cycle. She is such a beautiful soul and I love the way she is really combining the practical elements of this work, but also with the soulful elements and things that really align with her heart and soul. So let's head over to the show now. Welcome to Unraveling, Madeline. It's so good to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you.
I would love to dive into the conversation by asking you a question that I ask all my guests. And that is just to find out from you, what is a messy truth you are currently unraveling in your life?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'll go straight in for the hard stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really about, a big thing for me is finding out what's aligned with my soul and expressing it. Because I think that I am living a life of my passions right now, but one thing that I really want is to go deeper into finding out how I can live my life, like finding those things that I can do that aren't just for my business, but are really coming like from my mission and my soul of what I'm meant to do. And I find I can get really inspired. There's certain people I get so inspired for by, and I see them really living aligned with themselves. And I want to dive deeper into that.
That's a good unraveling. I'm definitely in that same space as you at the moment. I always find that the guests I kind of speak to on here are often a reflection of my own unravelings. We're all doing it together.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. So what can you just share a little bit about where you're at right now with that sort of soul purpose and with that with your work, and how you've kind of come to do this work and how it's showing up for you at the moment?
Yeah, so I've always, ever since I was a teenager, I knew that I wanted to be like doing what I love, and that definitely has been nutrition. Just ever since coming out of high school, it was a really big passion for me, and that led me to study it. And I always had this stubborn idea that I was just going to be an entrepreneur and I was going to make it work. So I did go to school. I went out of school and then I started my business. I worked a little bit just at different health food stores and started learning a lot of really amazing information too, and working with people, talking to people. But I got, I had this idea in my head. I'm going to do my business. I'm just going to do it. Because for me, the passion really came from the fact that when I was learning everything about nutrition, just learning how, you know, so many people's health issues can be corrected with nutrition, with healing, with herbs, with lifestyle, but so many people weren't getting that, weren't being informed about that from their doctor, just to the fact that it is very extreme. There's some people who die because of it, because they don't have the options. There's people who, you know, they really suffer from their symptoms. So that really got me on this mission to help people with that. And then as I went further, I realized like women's health was a huge thing. Women's health and hormone balance. Women weren't being educated about their hormones, and they were just being put on the pill, or being given an antidepressant rather than really looking into it and learning about their cycles and their bodies. So that's really where I'm at right now, really diving deep into helping women with that.
And that's quite reflective of the same in the UK, obviously, or Canada. But it's very similar in that the education, I think maybe it's my sort of generation, our sort of generation, the answer was just to go on the pill for any kind of hormonal issue. And nobody really explained what that was doing to our bodies. So there's now this sort of, now the understanding starting to come out, and people are actually starting to cotton on to how important this part of being a woman is. And there is still so much work to be done on the educational side. And that's why I don't even know how I came across you originally. I can't remember how we discovered each other. But I just loved what you were doing. I think it was with the elixirs and things like that, and educating people about how to eat for your cycle, because that's one of the missing parts that I've found when I've done lots of research on my own stuff, because I've been, you know, I've had hypothalamic amenorrhea for 4 years, and I've just, my cycle came back last year in November, and it's slowly getting there. But I tried everything. Very few, I tried going down very strict kind of protocols for food, but I wasn't really being given the education to understand how to eat at different points of the cycle. And that's why your work really stood out to me. So can you tell people a little bit more about what that looks like for you and why, because I think a lot of people don't really understand how food can impact different phases of their cycle. So I'd love to just dive straight into that. If that's
awesome. It's first important to understand that food supports your hormones. So the nutrients in food is the building blocks to certain hormones that we need. And also certain foods help your body metabolize and process different hormones. And there's actually different foods out there that have natural hormones, like natural estrogens, like flax seeds. So a woman's cycle, our hormones shift throughout the entire menstrual cycle. So they start out pretty low, like estrogen and progesterone. They start low during your period, during your menstrual phase, and then they start to slowly rise, and then estrogen peaks, testosterone peaks at ovulation, and then after you ovulate, progesterone becomes dominant and estrogen starts to go down. And there's different nutrients that our body uses to support specifically different hormones. So eating for your cycle really is trying to target and make recipes with these different nutrients, these different foods, and time it at different times in your menstrual cycle. Because as well, even eating, if you're just doing one thing, is to change how you're eating even when you're on your period, because that you really need to make sure you're eating nutrient-dense foods as well to rebuild the blood and make sure that you are restoring your body too. So I think that women are more naturally intuitive eaters. And I think a lot of it is kind of because of the cycle. You know, have you ever craved chocolate before your period?
Yep.
And that's because it's high magnesium, and well, it also has some feel good chemicals in there that are really good for soothing PMS, but the magnesium in the chocolate is really one of those reasons why we crave it more, because we need more magnesium during that time.
Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of mistrust in the way that women are eating now. In that I think we've almost lost that, but a lot of us, and I'm regaining that intuitive way of eating, but a lot of us sort of feel like we're supposed to eat certain things because that's what, I don't know, the diet industry or a nutritional therapist potentially has said at some point, and you kind of stick with that and you feel like you have to eat that all the time. And I think this is, But your body does crave things. Like, there are some times in the month where I really crave some red meat, and I know that like nothing's going to satisfy that craving. And it's not, you know, and until I've had that, or as you say, like cacao, beetroot, there are things that I crave at certain times, and I know that it's now in like because of my cycle. And it's only through exploring it myself and actually monitoring it and tracking it and writing it down that I've started to see those themes and those patterns. Mm-hmm. But for someone that is completely new to doing any kind of work with their cycle, so they're, you know, maybe not even tracking it on an app or anything like that, how would you suggest someone starts to, in baby steps, because it can be really overwhelming, start to eat, or start to just kind of honor their body a little bit more through the cycle, through that process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the first thing is creating awareness, because when we have awareness, it's just almost the first half of the puzzle when we can create that. So you don't necessarily have to go intensely into tracking your cycle, but just creating more of that awareness around when your period is starting. Maybe start to notice some of your cervical fluid to see when you might be ovulating. That's the liquid egg white cervical fluid is usually just something you might intuitively see. And then just start to pay attention, just pay attention to how you're feeling just throughout your cycle, and start to take note. You could write it down, but just having that general awareness is key. Even tracking how long your period is, like what day you're on, even if you don't do the full temperature tracking, is great. There's lots of months that I just do that, and I think it's awesome because I can figure out, okay, I'm feeling this way. Where am I in my cycle? And then I'll just pull up my phone and see where I am. So that would be the first thing. And then the next thing is you could try, I think, just changing how you're eating during your menstrual phase, your period, just slightly is really effective. So in Chinese, I like to look at Chinese medicine because it's so fascinating, because in the Chinese system, women will pass on this information on what to eat during their period, after their period, to their daughters, and they'll learn and they'll give them certain food and herbs. But what they recommend is to just have warming foods when you're bleeding, because when you're bleeding, you want to be able to relax the uterus. And if you have cold foods, that can actually cause more cramping for women. And having those warm, healing foods, it's almost like you're eating similar to if you're sick, if you have a cold, you're like nourishing your body with these warming foods and broths. So that would be something to try for sure.
So maybe, you know, it's the time in the month where you don't go for your cold smoothie first thing in the morning, or, you know.
Yeah. The worst possible thing might be some ice cream, but not the cold smoothie, but maybe do a golden milk latte, something you can find that recipe, because the turmeric really helps with inflammation, which helps with the cramping. So you can blend up that. I have a recipe on my website, or if you just search golden milk, you can find some really great things like that and have that instead of your smoothie.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that. But because I started having acupuncture about 6 months or so ago. And that was one of the things that she said was about, you know, making sure I had a lot more warming foods, even in the summer for me. I think just to give that nourishment to the body. And so I've actually been heating up my smoothies.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds a bit weird, but it actually works. And it definitely just feels like less of a shock to my body, especially now as the seasons are changing here and.
Yeah,
the temperatures are starting to shift. So obviously there's a lot about kind of this 28-day cycle, this kind of average 28-day cycle, but there is also a lot of irregularity in the number of days. And for example, you know, like I had no periods for 4 years, and at that point it was really hard for me to eat for my cycle because I didn't know what my cycle was. And then there's also, you know, like then I went from being sort of on a 55-day cycle to a 40-day cycle, and now it's like a 35-ish day cycle. But for those that are not on this 28-day, you know, perfect cycle, which for me was quite a big trigger when I was healing my body. How does someone use the same principles, but perhaps if they're not on this classic cycle, they don't know where they're at in their
cycle? Yeah, great question. So if someone has amenorrhea, you just don't have your period at all, or if your period is highly irregular, so if you're getting, you know, one day it's 53 days and then maybe it's 20 days, or if you're getting quite an irregular period, you can start to eat for the lunar cycles instead of the phases of your cycles, because traditionally a woman's cycle will sync up with the moon, because usually we would, if we were living in a tribal cultures with other women where you didn't have artificial lighting, you would typically, every woman would bleed on the new moon and ovulate on the full moon, or every woman that is menstruating would do that. So that's really interesting that we really sync up to the moon. So you can, usually I'll just give a woman the protocols that I have, and she'll do it with the moon until her cycle starts to regulate and she starts to see those signs. So she might eat for the menstrual phase during the new moon to half moon, and then ovulation, she'll eat around the full moon. So there's a full protocol that you can do around that. And then if your cycle is just slightly a little bit more irregular, then we'd have to see. It would just depend on the woman, like what you would want to be doing. But in terms of cycle timing, you know, what's normal is anywhere between 21 to 35 days. So if you have that, then typically you're going to be getting like the normal, that's a normal menstrual cycle. I do recommend for any women, usually over 35 days can be a sign that you're not ovulating, most likely. So it's good to just look into that and see and track and for sure start tracking your cycle if you're at that point.
And then what about if someone was in perimenopause or menopause, would they approach it in the same way? Because I feel like there's all these things that people don't discuss because there's so much shame around, you know, like getting older. And I know a lot of women struggle, particularly probably even more so going from menstruating to into that perimenopause phase, which it can be like 15 years, can't it, that you're in perimenopause and then into the menopause. Like, do you adopt the same way with the lunar cycle, or is it a completely different approach to eating?
Yeah, once a woman starts to really notice that her period is getting a lot shorter and longer and she knows she's entering that time, then I more so start with just focusing on specific nutrients. So she doesn't really eat for the phases anymore, but she'll have certain foods to really support her hormones going through the transition. So I like to have foods that are high in vitamin E, are really good for supporting estrogen, like almonds, sunflower seeds are great. And then finding ways to help her body process her estrogen is really important. So we'll do foods like raw broccoli or sprouts and lots of leafy greens. So we focus more on the nutrients, not on the phases of the cycle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that lots of people would be really fascinated to know more on that side of things. So,
Oh yeah, for sure. So many women that I talk to are going through menopause, and that usually is that typical time when most people who I talk to just on average will, when I talk hormones, they'll say, oh, you're talking about menopause, aren't you? Because that's what we think about. But yeah, lots of women are definitely reaching out for help, and yeah, the food, nutrition, it can help so much going through menopause.
Amazing. So can you just explain to, again, for someone that hasn't done much, who's quite kind of new to, I guess, being open to learning more about their menstrual cycle and about you know, the different phases as a woman. Can you just explain a little bit about how the body works through, you know, the normal menstrual cycle, and just maybe like a snippet of the sort of differences in the nutrition in those phases?
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So on average, as I was mentioning before, the average menstrual cycle is between 21 to 35 days. And I do recommend that women find out what the average menstrual cycle should look like, because I think there's a lot of problems with just educating around what's normal and what's not. And I've just had some clients come to me recently who have had really abnormal cycles with some actually serious issues, and they were brushed off by their doctor, and now they're like suffering with some really intense issues. So for sure, first off, educate yourself on what's normal, what's not. So your period should be between 3 to 7 days. There shouldn't be like much spotting. Ideally, you should not have PMS symptoms. You should not even get cramping. Like, some mild cramping is normal. This is all very common, but it actually is always all signs of imbalances in the body. So it's possible to have a cycle where you don't have PMS and you don't have cramping. But definitely pay attention if you have really severe cramping, especially if it came out of nowhere. It's important to advocate for yourself and get an ultrasound. Make sure there's nothing serious like endometriosis or fibroids, because you shouldn't have much pain around during your period and after your period. So really look out for that. And the bleeding, it shouldn't be it's around 85, if you have more than 85 milliliters of blood, that can be a lot. But if you're feeling really exhausted after you're done your cycle and you just feel like you're bleeding way too much, you really want to look into that too. So that's just the general parts of the menstrual cycle. And then to go through the phases of the cycle, what happens is when you start off, I call it your menstrual phase, but it's your period. This is the first day of your cycle when you start to bleed. This is when it's the beginning and the end of your cycle, because it's a cycle, right? So your estrogen and your progesterone, they both start to drop. And that signals the release of the endometrium lining, which is your period. So typically, because these hormones are really low, it's going to be impacting your neurochemistry. You might feel this sense of relief. You might feel this blissed out, euphoric feeling, or you might even be prone to more depression at this time too. Like, you might feel some intense sadness, and it can really vary through the cycle. But typically this is a time that you can use to really relax and rejuvenate your body, because it's typically you're feeling in this really, it's definitely a very like vulnerable state, and it's a natural time of rest and recovery. So I think if we're thinking even beyond the nutrition, this is the time where you can take that retreat time to rest, restore, set intentions for your coming cycle. Do you want me to talk about food as well?
If you like, maybe just to give a kind of a couple of things, just to kind of give people an idea of what you would eat maybe differently at this time compared to the other times.
Yeah. So during the menstrual phase, there's two things that I recommend. I call them moon brews and moon stews. You can just have these. So moon brews are really nutrient dense teas that you can have with certain herbs to support menstruation and to remineralize the body. So some that you can get that are quite accessible are raspberry leaf and nettle leaf. You can make a really nice strong tea with those in a mason jar. So I'll usually use like half a cup of nettle, and then pour in a 500 ml mason jar, pour boiling water over and seal it, and then just let that sit overnight or even just for a couple hours. Sometimes I'll put cinnamon, ginger, those really help with menstrual pain. So you can do something like that. And then have more of these moon stews, which are nutrient dense, warming stews that you can have. So you can put any sort of foods that have lots of magnesium and lots of iron in them. So an example is it could be a beet soup. Beets are really good for blood building. They support the liver. I really love to do like lamb shank or beef shank soups. So just think nutrients, like lots of nutrients, and really you can just live off that during your menstrual phase. Don't worry too much about cooking. If you have your moon stew brewed up and you can have your drink that you can have, and then you're going to be set and you don't need to think too much, and you can just focus on resting and rejuvenating.
Sounds good. Like going into the cocoon.
Yes. Yeah, definitely the cocoon time. And then after that, when bleeding stops, you will be starting to enter your follicular phase. And the follicular phase happens when FSH, our follicle stimulating hormone, luteinizing hormone, and most importantly, estrogen starts to make a slow incline. And slow, it starts off quite low at the beginning of this stage, and then it starts to increase. The things that you want to know about this stage is it's actually like your springtime in your body. So each phase correlates to a different season. So you could call this your inner springtime. And in this phase, your energy is going to start to go up. You might notice that you want to try new things. Your neurochemistry supports learning new things at this time. And just doing things like, just exercising more, utilizing this like fresh new energy to set intentions, and start taking action on the goals that maybe you made during your menstrual phase. So that's more what's going on just in your lifestyle. And with nutrition, it's really good at this time to support the eggs that are developing, because your body's starting to get some follicles ready to produce an egg that's going to be ovulated during ovulation. So it's important to support that with healthy fats like avocado and lots of antioxidants. So this is maybe the time where you do want to do those smoothies. Like acai is a really popular thing. Making an acai bowl or any sort of a berry smoothie would be a great food to have at this time, because when you can support those follicles and support that egg that's developing, it helps with fertility. But even if you don't want to get pregnant, when the egg is healthy, it's going to make your hormones healthy. It's going to make sure that you'll have optimal hormones through the rest of your cycle. So it's very important.
Okay. And then we move from spring to summer.
Yes, spring to summer. So then we enter ovulation, and the follicular phase is around 7 to 10 days for most women. Ovulation is shorter. It's usually between 3 to 4 days. And really when you ovulate, it's just a period of hours, but usually it's just marked by the hormone changes. So ovulation, I like to think of this as the most fun part of your cycle, because you are just going to have peak energy, peak sex drive. Sex is probably going to be just come a lot. It's going to be a lot easier. So I actually recommend take advantage of that high sex drive, because you're going to, you know, it's just going to come a lot more naturally. So yeah. It's awesome. and then you're going to feel this. The really interesting things that happen in ovulation is your communication skills increase. So you are more predisposed to do public talks. You have more of a magnetic energy. So it's great time to make first impressions, like ask for that job raise, go on a first date, do a job interview if you can. This is that time where if you want to stay up all night dancing, then do that. Or if you need to pull an all-nighter at work, your body has the energy to support you. It's your estrogen. Nutrition-wise, we want to support that rising estrogen, because that estrogen is definitely good for us. But we need to make sure, because we have so much, we need to make sure that we have foods that are going to properly detoxify it. Because our bodies, one thing that can go wrong with a lot of women's health and hormones is that if she doesn't process her estrogen good, then she can start to experience more symptoms of estrogen dominance, like PMS, like heavy periods, even fibroids and cysts and endometriosis, if we're not processing that natural estrogen that we create. And we can do that through food. So food is really one of the main things you do it. So the best thing to eat is more raw foods during ovulation. So like cabbage, think like in my Eating for Your Cycle program, I do a slaw recipe. So like a cabbage slaw that has like a lot of different, the brassica family really helps. So broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, having like a sauerkraut, all these foods help with the detoxification of estrogen, raw carrots, even goji berries and beets. Those help with detoxification. So that's what you would be focusing on. You'd be eating more close to a raw food diet, though you can still have animal protein in this time. So it's really going totally opposite if you think menstrual phase is way more soups, stews, ovulation is way more of the raw foods.
And do you find that people's digestion like changes through the phases, and so they can actually process those raw foods a lot easier than perhaps they could do during menstruation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually I haven't noticed that particular change, but usually in ovulation, you also can metabolize. So your liver just functions a bit better during that time too. So you can probably have more coffee, but it's actually more as we enter the luteal phase that the body starts to not function quite as well with digestion, and you can become more sensitive to sugar. So as we enter the next phase of our cycle, the luteal phase, this happens right after ovulation. After you ovulate, what happens physically in the body is progesterone will start to increase. And the sign that you can look out for is seeing that increase in your body temperature if you track your cycle on a regular basis. And this is the longest phase. This can be between 10 to 16 days for most women. And this is your progesterone dominant phase. And if you aren't getting the right nutrition, or Your body just becomes a lot more sensitive to sugar, a lot more sensitive to caffeine. And this is the time to really amp up the self-care, because this, the self-care and the nutrition can really determine your PMS symptoms and also your period too. So some really easy tips for this is, think having like lots, instead of doing more grains, have more root veggies, like more of a paleo style diet. So yams are great. They have the beta carotene that's really good for supporting the body, supporting progesterone. And then, squashes, root veggies, and then lots of leafy greens, like magnesium is awesome because you need the magnesium to support that progesterone and also to help with the bloating if you have breast tenderness. So the magnesium foods, my top one is Swiss chard. Swiss chard is really high in magnesium, way higher. It has it in kale, but Swiss chard and hemp seeds actually too. So I love putting a couple tablespoons of hemp seeds in my smoothies.
Huh, interesting. Oh, I love that. Yeah, there's so much information in there. I think people have to listen a couple
of times. And that's just a couple. Yeah, those are just a couple of foods. I have a whole list of all the different foods for the phases, but you know, it can just be about incorporating a couple recipes, or maybe you make a smoothie that's according to the phases of the cycle. Each day, or that's like the one thing that you do in the morning. You make your follicular smoothie or your ovulatory smoothie. And really the benefits of eating this way is you can use this therapeutically to help with certain menstrual health issues. So if you have bad cramping, PCOS, even amenorrhea, fertility issues, endometriosis, if we make slightly modifications, we can use this as a way to really support women in healing these things.
And I guess just understanding those processes that are going on in your body is the first baby step to knowing, you know, that at certain phases you need to have more detoxifying foods, and at certain phases you need to have warmer foods. Just even just knowing that and having that in the back of your mind when you make a choice. It doesn't have to be, oh, I'm going to change my whole diet. Because that can feel really overwhelming, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's just back to that awareness. When we have awareness around something, it will naturally happen. It will just happen in the flow when you know in the back of your head, okay, or creating different rituals. For me, it's like when I first start bleeding, that's when I know I'm going to make my moon brew. I'm going to make my herbal teas. Mm.
Yeah. And I think that's where this like knowledge is power thing is sort of so key, just by, and for me, the first kind of element for that was starting to track my cycle, and not like, as you said earlier, like I don't track it on an app. I don't take my temperature. I simply have a journal that in the morning and in the evening, I just note down even a couple of words, like how I slept, how I'm feeling, what day I'm on. So I know where I'm at roughly. And just that was the first start for me. So it can just be that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Simple awareness.
Yeah, you just need to start with that. That's all. I know for me, I've been doing this for around 10 years, just being aware of my cycle. And I think the thing that's been the most valuable for me has been just tracking the cervical mucus. So even if I'm not charting something, I always know when I'm approaching ovulation because of that cervical mucus going up. And I usually find that when I do have my peak day of cervical mucus, when it's the most egg white, I'll get my period usually exactly 14 days afterwards. So it's pretty a good way. Temperature is the most accurate way if you're going to use it for conception and if you're going to use it for even birth control. But to start out, just cervical mucus is awesome.
Yeah, that's definitely how I know when I'm ovulating. Mm-hmm. And that's become like my kind of map, I suppose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious to know whether you had, like, did you come to this work because of your own personal experience with your menstrual cycle, or was it just, it kind of just flowed into that? Because I know a lot of people come to this work from having a specific issue around their menstrual cycle. Was that the case?
You know, it's not the full case. I've just been really passionate about learning about it because I started so young. I started learning about this when I was like 19, to learn about the cycle. But I still did get even more inspired about it when I did have my own issues later on. But I started to learn about this when I was very young. And so that's maybe a little bit different than other people who are start out with this. But then my main issues, what I had with my cycle was definitely really bad PMS symptoms for a period of time. And I had really sore boobs, and I would notice that even in the middle of my cycle, right after ovulation, I was getting these horrible, like, sore breasts. And then I would also get these cyclical headaches right before my period. And then one cycle, I just decided to take some supplements to help detoxify the estrogen, and I focused more on my nutrition. And then I stopped getting the PMS and the breast tenderness. My period just started showing up, and that really got me realizing that, wow, this stuff is very powerful. Mm-hmm. And then I got inspired just moving into that from there, just to learn about it. But for me, I've just always been passionate about the cycle, just learning about how we're so different at different times in our cycle. And then I get more and more passionate every day just from talking to all the women that I work with, or just women that are having issues. There's just so many women out there, you know, just statistically, like 1 in 10 women have PCOS, 1 in 10 women supposedly have endometriosis. I think maybe like 9 in 10 women struggle with this stuff, but no one really talks about it too much. So I just really want to help the women out with it, because I know this stuff can really help them.
Yeah. And I think there's so much emotional attachment to Unravel around it as well, because like I've spoken to kind of guests on the show before about similar things, but there's so much shame. There's so many secretive kind of hidden parts to our cycles, I suppose, that we feel like we've had to hide
yeah, away. Yeah. And it's hard. I think that as women, we really can put a lot of negative energy into our bodies. We just can think of our bodies, like start hating different parts of our bodies. And the same, that really can go a lot for like having a period. A lot of women actually just hate having it. Mm-hmm. And it's understandable if you have really bad symptoms, but what we need to do is we need to learn how to like love those parts of ourselves. And I think even a lot of women have negative opinions towards their vaginas, they start having negative energy to there, and just learn that that it causes a lot of dysfunctions with how we treat our body and how we allow other people to treat it, and even how we allow the medical system to get away with treating these things. So I think that in general, we need to learn how to have a positive, we need to think positively about our body, have a positive idea of what's going on, and start to actually embrace the period, embrace it, love it, you know, just start to like embrace, your vagina. Cause I think especially with teens, I've just been doing a lot of research about this lately, just about how they think that their vagina is like dirty and it smells weird. And then a lot of teens do douching, where they clean everything out. Like 1 in 5 women do it, but it's so bad for them. It causes vaginal or bacteria vaginosis. And even infertility, ectopic pregnancies, all this stuff, because we think our bodies are like gross somehow. And it's so sad. And mm-hmm. that's the one thing. I just think it's so, you know, that when you go to the doctor, I'll do a little rant. They will tell you, when I go to the doctor, my doctor just always starts asking me about what birth control do I want to go on. She'll just start asking me that, but they don't ask like, are you douching? Even though 1 in 5 women do, and that's causing like so many issues. And oh yeah, it's so crazy.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
it's definitely been something I've worked through myself. As the same as like at school, it's sort of what's the normal? You know, you're it's supposed to. You know, are you supposed to wax it all off, or, you know, there's all these things around our vaginas, around our sexuality, around our menstrual cycle. And these, like, for me, I feel like we have to talk about this stuff, because it's like this, I just hate the idea of then, like, more generations growing up of women and girls growing up feeling ashamed of their body, feeling disgusted, and feeling like they have to do all these things to kind of cover up, you know, like you say, like the smell, or like the cervical fluid and things like that. It's like, oh, you know, you say the word discharge and everybody freaks out, or you say the word bleeding and people freak out. I think we just have to make it more normal to talk about these things. That it's not some dirty secret, because
when you really think of it in the big picture, I just don't understand why women feel so ashamed about their body. Like, why is that there? You know, it's there. It's, you know, it's been there for me, still is in certain extent sometimes. Why is that there?
Yeah, it's not, I believe that it's not just our stuff. I believe it's generations of stuff we've carried. And I really do feel very strongly that we have to make it stop here. It has to, like, there's definitely a wave of women who are standing up and talking about it, and I think that's really powerful, and I feel like I hope that that starts to shift it,
fingers crossed. Giving me goosebumps right now.
we are those people. So I'd love to know, because obviously you're a businesswoman, you run a business. Now this is something I feel really passionate about sharing with other women in business or women in work. How do you use your cycle in your business life and in your work life, in terms of, you know, obviously you were saying, when you're ovulating, that's the time to do a big talk or a presentation or ask for that job. I feel like women are, or a lot of women are, missing a trick in being able to use their cycle in that to actually, I hate the word, I don't want to say be more productive, because I think productivity has got this kind of weird connotation about, like, being busy all the time and getting shit done. But I do actually think that if we listen to our body and we use this map that we are given, that we can actually be more effective in our work life. Would you agree? Have you kind of experienced that in your own business?
Yeah, this is something I'm still working on, you know, because navigating the business and having the to-do list of what to do. And I work with a business partner as well. So because we work with a business partner, I can't just say I'm not working today, sorry, because I have to be accountable to her. So we're trying to navigate it. Our cycles pretty much sync together, which is kind of cool. So we probably need to start to align our business practices more. But one thing that I notice for sure is the intuitive sense. So when I'm on my cycle, I get very intuitive. Like when I'm on my period, I get very intuitive, and I get more into, like, the writing and getting back to that alignment of aligning just aligning the business more with my soul and really thinking about those things. So yeah, usually I'll, like, we'll both kind of avoid the technical aspects at that time, and then we'll really get more into, like, the writing and, like, the social writing, our social media content. I just remember, a week ago, I was bleeding at that time, and I was really just feeling on it and avoiding those things. So I think that it just paying attention first to, if you have a job that requires more creativity, notice when you're more creative and when you're feeling more intuitive, and really prioritize the time for that for sure. And taking that time to, like, sleep and rest more. Ideally, you want to be resting more and sleeping more during menstruation, working less then, and then during ovulation, maybe that's when you work more and you do more talks.
And wouldn't it be amazing if businesses and workplaces like understood this and could actually encourage women to implement this, because I feel like there's such a missing, as I said, like this missing link in the workplace of understanding, like, and it's not just women that need to understand, it's the men need to understand this as well. And I just feel like if there was just this little bit more education, and maybe they're not quite ready for it yet, I don't know. But it could really shift the way some businesses work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think supporting people to work at their best when they usually ovulation is that time where we're supposed to, it's like our culture thinks that we should be ovulating all the time.
Yeah.
Like that's a way to think about it, because it's like, that's when maybe you want more sex. It's when you're feeling just energized, you're feeling good, you know? So, but we want to be supported during that time to like know that that's when we might be functioning at our best. But then we also need to be supported at these other times when we're not, when we might have to take some time off. I think that if we could find a way, so that's definitely something in my business I'm really excited to explore more of, to see just how we can do it more aligned to our cycle. But I definitely, mostly I find I do end up getting a lot of talks and doing a lot of more speaking and on my during ovulation, and it does work well. I do like to do that.
So I'm curious to know, what do you have a favorite stage of your cycle?
I like the ovulatory stage. I like ovulatory stage for really good sex.
Yeah, that's good.
For me, I like that for like the sex, the connection. And then I really love that time in my menstrual stage where I do could just drop in and feel really more intuitive and can really feel more in touch with that. I have had some really hard menstrual cycles. Sometimes if I have something going on, like personally, I can get almost like really sad, like really feel like major emotions come up. But I think that that's also a way that I release emotions during that time. So sometimes it can be kind of rough during that phase. And usually it happens, during menstruation. But then when I can get the blissed out intuitive time, I just love it. It feels amazing.
I asked the question because I, earlier on in the year, I did my womb yoga teacher training. And that question was asked, and the majority of people chose the ovulatory period, and I chose the bleeding period because I was like, because I've not had it for so long, I was like, it's the only time in the cycle where I am like, I feel some kind of security and certainty of where I'm at, because the rest of the phase is so erratic, or was still at that point very erratic, and for those reasons, in that it's the most intuitive time. It can be the most challenging time because of the emotions that come up, but it's also, it's the most cleansing, and it feels like you're able to process stuff that you need to process. If you can allow it, you know, if you will allow that process to happen. And I guess where it gets tricky is when we resist that.
Yeah, when we resist it, it can be so hard. But then I actually, one of the things that got me really into this is I was able, when I was 21, I was, the social group that I was part of, there was women in that group, like some really good friends of mine that are still good friends today, that were honoring their menstrual cycle and taking retreat time during the menstrual cycle. And what we did is we started to like bring each other food during that time when we were bleeding, and really celebrating that in my group of girlfriends, and having that positive image towards the cycle and being around that. So it would be like, if you got your period, like the women would celebrate, they'd be like, oh, that's so amazing. And that was so, I'm so grateful to have that positive outlook and see what it can be like. And so then when you have that, you can start to love bleeding, even if there's some pain there, you know, even if you are experiencing cramping, you can start to experience it and appreciate it. And I understand some women might be listening who are just having really bad menstrual pain, and that can be where you're having to take the intense painkillers, so it's not an enjoyable experience. So I understand it can still happen, but surrendering as much as you can to it can be really powerful.
Yeah, and so I've got quite a few friends who have endometriosis or who have really painful periods. And so do you feel like nutrition alone can actually make a big enough impact on that? Or do you think there are other practices that need to be integrated? I mean, I know it's different for every person and it's hard for you to say that, but in those kind of extreme situations, what have you found to be the most, the things that cause the most sort of symptoms? I suppose.
I think that the good news about endometriosis is it can respond quite well to natural treatment. There's some things like fibroids can be a lot more tricky with natural treatment just because they're already there. It's still possible to shrink the fibroids to reduce those, but endometriosis can reverse when you apply the diet and the nutrition. So with endometriosis, I would say it's about getting on some good supplements. Actually, there's some supplements like one called NAC, like NAC, that works really well. And then reducing the inflammatory foods, because people are starting to think endometriosis is actually an autoimmune condition. They don't know for sure, but there's research on that coming out. You do want to detox estrogen because it will grow in more estrogen. So you could take some estrogen detoxing supplements, but you want to actually do it to treat autoimmune. So that's no dairy for sure. No dairy, no gluten, no sugar. And then eating a lot of like healing anti-inflammatory foods, like lots of vegetables. There's lots of women who actually find doing a vegan diet helps, but I think it's just because on a vegan diet, you're getting like lots of vegetables. So I think that if you have a little bit of meat and then like lots of colorful vegetables, just try and rotate them like turmeric, like lots of these foods, I think for sure women can see results with it. And they have, like, some women that I've worked with have been able to. So it's been great.
Amazing. Oh, wow. There's so much information in all of that. I know. And I know you have some incredible resources on your website. I've got one more question to ask you, and then I would love you to share a little bit more about where people can find you and what kind of things you've got coming up. But the question I'd love to ask you is, because for me, my work at the moment feels very much about remembering our inner wisdom and remembering the parts of us that have perhaps been hidden. And that for me is the menstrual cycle, our sexuality, our creativity, all of those things. I'd love to know what you are currently remembering that was previously forgotten.
I think, what I'm remembering is to really trust and connect back to the things that I really am deeply passionate about. And for me, that's really about connecting to the earth, the seasons, the cycles, like herbology, really learning about working with herbs and plants, doing it more than just a supplement, doing it on a more spiritual level. That's what I'm remembering, because that's something, it's something I've always been innately passionate about. It just comes out of me on a soul level, and I want to just dive deeper into that study.
So maybe more on the kind of ritualistic rather than it just being about taking some pills and, kind of doing it that way. Yeah. Cause rituals, something that has really been forgotten in so many ways, hasn't it? It was such a key part of life. I don't know, probably even 50 years ago, let alone, beyond then. And it's definitely something that's got forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you think you're going to start that process off? What are you sort of doing to align yourself back with that?
I think to start going for walks in nature. Whenever I do that, I just feel dropped in, feel like this is how I'm supposed to feel like when I'm going in nature. And then, yeah, starting to do some more wild harvesting, like harvest some herbs. There's not as much at this time of year, but there's rose hips, and just make some medicines with that and just really like make some, maybe it's a rose herbal syrup or something like, and then, or use it in my elixirs and make those. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I think what I'll do.
Sounds kind of witchy.
Yeah. I've also been making sourdough bread, and I think that I've learned about sourdough bread and how all the original bread was sourdough. So I've been fermenting like a sourdough starter and like making bread, and I feel like somehow connected to my ancestors doing that. And I love the ritual of that, because you make the bread and it's like, you know, what people do to nourish, you did for millennia to nourish their families. So I'm loving that, like baking has some sort of ritual to me.
Absolutely. That baking for me is kind of about time with my mum when I was younger. And I think it's the kind of thing you often do with grandparents, and it's got there's definitely this, ritualistic side to it. And it definitely brings up lots of memories, and the smell of freshly baked bread has got to be kind of the best.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, it's amazing. Okay. What's coming up for you in terms of your offerings? How could people connect more with you? I'd love to share a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So you can go to my website. It's naturalhormonehealing.com. And if you just go onto that website, there's a lot of free resources and recipes and blog posts. You know, one thing that we can link is because we talked about cramping, I do have a cramp reduction protocol that you can get from me for free. And I have that one of my recipes for my golden milk there and some other things. So this one, even if you're dealing with endometriosis or just regular cramping pain, I have some really good recommendations in there that should help you out. So you can check that out there. But yeah, lots of stuff. So if you're struggling with any type of hormone issues, you're always welcome to go on the website. And then if you need any like support, or if you have any questions about what you should do for your particular issue, definitely reach out. Me and my business partner, Jennifer, we really want to connect with you, and we don't just like treat people like, you know, you just your number or something. We really like, you can reach out for us, and we will actually like send you a personalized message and give you some personal recommendations.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that personal approach. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and you've got your Eating for Your Cycle course as well that people can join.
Yeah, for sure. So if you want the full download on all of everything to eat for the phases of your cycle, you can check that out as well. And that's on the website.
Amazing. Well, I'll put all the links in. Thank you so much for your time. It's been amazing to connect, and just to, I think we've covered quite a lot in a short period of time.
Yes, we have. Yeah.
And I hope that it gives people just that little bit more insight. It's certainly been interesting for me. Even, you know, I've done a lot of research myself anyway, but even still, there's so much to learn, and it can be really overwhelming. There's so many different sort of schools of thoughts and things like that. So I guess it's about finding what works for you and making those baby steps. But thank you so much for your time. And
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. And hopefully, well, maybe you'll be back on the show soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Unraveling. If you have enjoyed this conversation and want to listen more, then please subscribe to the show and share it with any friends who might enjoy the journey too. To continue the adventures and connect with other people who are also enjoying the show, don't forget to join the Unraveling Deeper community on Facebook. Here you can delve deeper into some of the topics discussed on the show and also get the chance to ask questions for future episodes. I will also be sharing additional resources that are supporting me in my own unraveling. Just head to facebook.com/groups/unraveling deeper. You can also get in touch with me via my Instagram at laurenbarber.co or through my website www.laurenbarber.co. Until next time, keep trusting the beautifully chaotic process of unraveling.